I missed you.
Oh, you did?
I missed you so much.
Thanks. I missed you too.
I missed you looking at those pictures. I was laughing with you while we were texting back and forth, though. That was fun.
Yes. You know, I had promised to text Heather Osgood, who has a agency similar to mine, but I forgot she's in California. So you're the only person that was awake. I knew you would be awake when I got there. Not that I wouldn't text you automatically anyway, but just that I was trying to let her live vicariously through me since she couldn't come.
Oh.
But it worked out that you did that instead, because I was just like, look at the lobby. Look at the mullet. Look at that thing.
Look at the mullet.
It wasn't a mullet. It was a mohawk like mine.
Oh, my God. I wonder if we could take screenshots of our conversations.
Yes,
and put them in
for
Patreon or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely. Piece, we could. As long as there's nothing terrible and gossipy. And some, no. I'm sure I was not my best self in every text.
No, but they were. I'm sure there were some hilarious descriptions there.
Observations.
Where like,
well, in some cases, I was, just being informative. And then in some, I was being kind of snarky and gossipy. And then in some, I was being super insecure. So
there you have it. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to be a professional now. And we are really quickly going to take it back and say, hi.
Well, you are
listening to She Podcast, the podcast about podcasting from the women's point of view.
Not necessarily for women, but
no,
definitely by women.
Women.
It used to be for women by women. Now it's for everyone by women.
Yeah, exactly. And I am Elsie, and this is Jess.
What's
and
up?
And we are your hosts.
That might be the only time we've ever done that.
I know, I just thought
that. Episode 111, and now you're having a reintroduction. Hi,
well,
I'm Jess.
I know.
Hi, listeners.
Yes. Well, because you never know. We might have somebody and they're going to go, who are these ladies talking?
Who are we? Well, I mean, do I have to go over my credentials or can they read
about
it?
Well, I think what we're going to need to do from now on is have like a sentence that encapsulates our greatness in like, 5 seconds.
Oh my God. What? How could I ever do that?
It's just going to be too much. I know. I can't even.
Can I change the greatness every week? Like
yes,
I do on John's
that would be
show?
So fun.
So this week I'm Jessica and I am a founding member of the Academy of Podcasters. But next week I'll be Jessica who can sit next to her mic without fiddling with it.
Oh, well,
and then the week after that, maybe I'll be the Jessica that helped co-found She Podcast. And then the next week, I'll be the Jessica that has been in the digital marketing space for 20 years. And then the next week.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding.
All of a sudden, we'll have an hour of all of these little snippets.
Well, which Elsie are you today?
I am the Elsie that can podcast from anywhere.
So true.
Yeah, because I keep thinking you should see where I'm sitting now. I have a new place now that I podcast, like in my closet, with the closet behind me, sitting on the floor in one of those little chairs. You know, those little, I don't know if you even know these little things. They're like, they have a little cushion for your bum. They're on the floor. So it's like a cushion for your bum, but it has a back.
Those are called husbands.
What?
What? Does it have arms too a little bit?
No, it just has a little back support and a little butt support.
So
and it's like,
the pillows like that have the back and the arms are called husbands.
Oh, well, no, this is not a husband. This is on the floor too. We used to use these a lot when we went into yoga teacher training. There's a lot of these are in yoga studios, like on the side, so that if you have a class, you can just grab them really quickly and put them on the floor. And then you have a little chair with a back and a little something underneath its butt. Mm.
So what you're saying is, Elsie, you still don't have a husband. Ba-da-bum! I'll be here all week.
Oh, look at that.
Just kidding.
I guess maybe this is a boyfriend then.
He could be the boyfriend.
This could be the boyfriend that I'm
saying. Maybe
once
you get arms, then you'll have a husband. Ba-da-bum! Boo! Elsie is in a committed relationship, so don't get any ideas, fellas. She's taken.
Oh, my God. All right. So before we begin, we're going to take it from the husbands and the boyfriends into Pod Fusion, because we have to address this like right away before we forget.
Okay,
so
I'll do it.
You guys, Pod Fusion. Pod Fusion is our thing, right? Jess?
I was taking a sip. It's our thing. Yeah.
It's our thing.
We are so excited.
It's our She Podcast thing. Like, that's what it's called.
No one's
our workshop,
more excited.
It's called Pod Fusion. And it's been, and we're so excited. We even have a landing page. It is at podfest.us/2017.
Wait, we should just do a pretty link. Wait, stop. Let's make a, just stop it right now. Have them go to shepodcast.com/podfest2017.
No.
How about that?
No. shepodcast.com/podfusion.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Okay.
shepodcast.com/podfusion. PODFUSION.
Yes. shepodcast.com/podfusion.
Podfusion.
Yes. So we have a landing page and it's the coolest thing ever. So you guys can have, you guys it have is. To start signing up right now. I mean, some of the stuff that's on that page is going to blow your mind. Do you want to read some?
Blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. Yes. Okay. She Podcast presents Podfusion, a commingling of the professional, the poetic.
That sounds nasty.
Thank you. You know, Chris Kremitzos said it was the best copy he ever read, but whatevs.
I know. Okay.
Whatevs. Just because I wrote it doesn't mean I'm going to get hurt if you tell me it's terrible.
No, it's terrible.
Okay. It's a commingling of the professional, the poetic, the conversational, the individual, the communal, the interactive, and the hilarious. Yes. Mm. How could you not want to come to that?
I know.
Basically, we want to take you on a journey super far out of the box, thinking about what podcasting could be. We're going to be doing exercises, lessons, interactive teaching methods, and they're going to blow your face off live face. At the solo. That's Monster Trucks.
And it actually.
Sorry.
And it actually needs you there for the face to be blown off, because if you're not there, that energy is going to be a little off.
Yes.
So you.
She's talking to you, the listener, not me.
Yes, of course.
She's talking to you.
Yeah, you, the one that has your ears.
We're going to take you out of your comfort zone and experience a vaster definition of audio and how small tweaks and mindsets can make a huge difference. So listen, every time you guys go to a workshop and you think, finally, you've hit your advanced workshop and finally you're going to learn something that no one else is teaching, and you go and it's the same thing, this is the one that you guys have been wanting. This is the one that's advanced. This is the one that's not going to talk to you about RSS feeds. It's not going to talk to you about what mic to use. If you want that, you got to go somewhere else. This is the one. This is stuff that Elsie and I have learned throughout the year at other events, more advanced events that we're going to pass on to you. This is the one where we're going to show you the business, basically. But we need you. And it's for males and females, men and women. So don't feel like just because it's put on by me and Elsie that it's ladies only. It's not. So if you want to get more out of your show, level it up, ask more of your audience, more of yourself, this is going to be the workshop for you. shepodcast.com/podfusion.
All right. So
sorry. Did you want to say anything about it? Because I just
took on over. That is great, because you're going to continue to take over, because I cannot wait to hear about your trip. So now we're going to be talking about some news.
The news you can use for the informed podcasting news. You know what I realized? Who was I talking to? Was it you? Who was I? It was you.
I
was talking to you earlier, and we were talking about doing a play and ghosts, right? Weren't we talking about ghosts? Who was I talking to about ghosts? Doesn't matter.
You were not talking to me about ghosts.
Okay. Well, the point is that accent, the newscaster accent, is very close to my haunting accent.
Oh.
You're being haunted by the ghost.
I had no idea that you had
the ghost
a haunting
of Christmas
accent.
Present. All ghosts talk like this. Didn't you know?
We were just talking about ghosts.
I knew
ghosts.
It. I knew it was you.
But we were talking about A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started to talk about how all ghosts have...
They all have a weird haunting sound. Okay, we're way off topic already, and we haven't even started.
Podcast up front, dude. Tell me the scoop. Even though we already have all the 411. I mean, I do.
Everyone knows the 411 about what happened at Podcast Upfront as far as like the announcements and stuff. But I want to give you a different experience.
Ooh.
I want to give you the experience of what it was like to be me at the Podcast Upfront.
Well, that's what people are waiting for.
Because I was not them and they were not me.
No.
As we all know, I'm already self-conscious before I get there, just simply because A, I'm not a New Yorker, B, I don't work for one of these big networks, C, I'm there totally by myself, which is a little scary when you don't know anybody else. I mean, the people that I do know, I've met like because I've badgered them into an interview with me, like Lex Friedman, for example, but it's not like we're friends or friendly. You're more friendly with him than me.
I am.
In fact, you probably had a ton of friends there that I don't even know who you knew. Which actually reminds me, I got to tell that story too. So, so I'm at the Upfronts, and it's extremely fancy. The Time Inc. building, if anyone who's listening has ever had a meeting there or done anything there, like that had to do with like being invited to participate in something they were doing businessy, that's a crazy fancy building and a crazy fancy place. Like it has its own cul-de-sac. It's at the end of a cul-de-sac, and you go in, your cab can drop you right off at the front door like you're Betty Big Deal. And then you go in and they take your, oh no, you have to ride the escalator, the elevator up to the floor. And then there's a separate like window enclosed part for time for where we were going to be. And you walk in and the entire wall behind the reception is video. And it's moving.
It was so fancy.
It's moving. But like, I couldn't even like show it because even the screenshots that I gave Elsie, like you couldn't see that, like, yes, it was the skyline, but cars were moving. Like in the, it was just surreal. It was totally surreal. And so I sit down because after having my bag scanned for bombs, they weren't letting anyone in until nine. So I just sat down and just kind of like started looking around, and I see Lex talking to a couple other, you know, I see faces that I think I recognize from emails and articles and stuff, but nothing that I can be too sure of. And all the women are like dressed up in dresses, and I was wearing black pants and a green shirt. And I had a fancy green bag, but like I felt a little underdressed because I wasn't wearing like a suity type thing. I wasn't business casual, but I felt underdressed, maybe because New York City is like, I don't know, and then agency, you put that on top of that, and it's like everybody's fancy. And then also, like, you don't notice the men too much, except they're all pretty fashionable. But the women, the older women, women my age and above, I describe it as they look like the type of women that would eat their young.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't, I know that's, yeah, a terrible, that probably makes me sound anti-feminist or whatever, but like, I don't mean because they look mean or because they look businessy, but because they're all fake tan with a lot of makeup, extremely skinny, like they only subsist on like twigs and vitamins, scarves draped around their, you know, like cardigans draped around their shoulders, sunglasses still on, like their head, top of their head, even though we're inside, just so you can tell that they're like Ray-Ban expensive shit, like sunglasses, and like, I don't know, just felt the women intimidated me much more than the men. And then you could tell who was there from where, because I think all the people there from an agency were like 30 and under. I don't think that the CEOs of any of the big agencies actually came to this event like they would have for television. I think they sent underlings, which will bring me to the next point of the podcast up front, which is, you sit down, and unlike the movie theater, imagine an auditorium, because that's what it was, and it wasn't too large, so like a smaller movie theater, but every single chair is like a Lazy Boy, but that doesn't kick back the feet. They all have like big, thick armrests, though, like you're in someone's personal viewing hall, kind of. It was crazy, and they're bright blue. And then there's beautiful lighting on stage. And like first Malcolm Gladwell comes out with Questlove. And Questlove is like eight times the size of Malcolm Gladwell, including his afro. His afro also shadowed Malcolm Gladwell's afro. It was crazy. But they had a really interesting conversation. And the thing I really should bring up my notes here. The thing I took away from that conversation was not something you would think I would have taken away from it, because I wish I could sit here and be like, yeah, this is why they started the thing and this and that. But here's what I took away from Questlove. Like, Questlove hosts a 3-hour show every day, and it's him and his jury of nerds, he says, knowing and know-it-alls. And he said that when he was a kid, when other little boys were playing superhero, he was playing record store. And I have a similar story, actually, because when I was a kid and all the other women were playing house or teacher or whatever, I was playing ad agency. Barbie had her own ad agency, like Darren Stevens, like in Larry Tate.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I totally, either that or I was on my dad's cassette recorder recording myself as a game show host, and my sister was the guest. And every day I'd be like, tell them what they won, Dana, you know?
Oh my God.
So it's weird, the things that you do. And actually, I haven't given people that advice, where if you feel like you're not doing the thing you were meant to do, go back to when you were like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The stuff you're pretending then is probably the stuff you're meant to do, and you just don't realize it. Isn't that funny?
That's amazing. I've been sort of backing into what I wanted to do, but that's a whole other conversation. But anyway.
Yeah, totally. He also said, you know, he was also saying, like, I'm all things to all people. So people know him from The Roots or from being the drummer for Jay-Z or from being on Yo Gabba Gabba. And, like, he just has a very random career. And then, okay, this isn't relevant to podcasting, so I don't want to get too off track. But I wrote down a lot of quotes that some of the people said. So as I go through the presentations, I'll probably tell you, like, the defining quote. If that's okay.
Yeah, dude, do it.
So let me just preface this by saying what an upfront is. An upfront is supposed to be networks pitching advertising bigwigs on where to spend their dollars in the upcoming season. Traditionally, obviously, that would be television. So NBC, CBS, ABC, and now I'm sure HBO, Cinemax, et cetera, all get together and put together a presentation that they then show the agencies, probably in a similar setting. And then the agencies leave and they figure out where they want to spend their cash, like which shows, what audiences, et cetera. So I've never been to one of those upfronts. So in comparison, I'm not sure I'm giving a proper assessment because I've never been to those. That said, each presentation had a formula. It was as such. Introduction of Network Bigwig. Network Bigwig comes out. They say hello. They show 2-minute video about network. They come back. They brag about network. Then they bring on celebrity to explain podcast and either brag about listener engagement or simply to explain what podcast is, why they enjoy podcasting, why it's a good medium. They get off stage. In some cases, repeat, rinse and repeat celebrity. So in some cases, it would be like one or two celebrities and then they would go away. And then host would come out, make comment, introduce next network. It was the same way every single time. And the parts that were actually interesting were A, the 2-minute videos and how they chose to be persuasive in that time, like that visual, like masterpiece that they were creating. And then the other part that was interesting is like you could tell which networks gave direction to the celebrities as to like what to say and which ones didn't. So
how do you know that?
Anyone with a decent amount of instinct could tell whether or not the celebrity knew what the hell they were doing up there. And most of them, Elsie, did not know.
Oh my gosh.
And that's not to say that they didn't.
That makes me sad.
Well, that's not the sad part because these are celebrities that have, I mean, like Katie Couric, for example, she's been to upfronts, I'm sure, many times. She knows how to sell a network show, but the selling point of a podcast is so different. And what is the selling point of a podcast? I mean, what I teach is that besides the, I mean, I teach a bunch, but the main one I think for an advertiser would be the engagement. But celebrities are not the engagers. Not usually.
Nope.
So they can't exactly sell what they're supposed to be selling, which means that the actual more compelling shows that were up there giving presentations were not famous people. Mm-hmm. And that was probably confusing for a lot of people there. Because it was just like, why did Katie Couric suck, but this guy Doug Loves Movies just kicked ass on here? Well, let me tell you why. It's because Doug's had a show for a billion years. He knows what he's doing. They can show video of him in the studio, meeting fans, laughing with guests. And Katie just has an intern that licks her ass while they do a while they talk to each other.
Yeah. And also, you know, you're totally right, because somebody could have gone like, you know, Keith and the Girl could have gone up there and they could have
actually
shown.
They're not with a network, but yes.
I know,
right.
But what I'm saying is, you know,
yes.
They could have gone up there and they could have shown how their fans got tattoos of their logo.
A lot of people could have done that.
But, on their arms.
So,
but I mean, come on.
But it also made me feel like because of that, I don't know that this should be an upfront. I feel like it should be something different because, okay, so like the video. So let me just start with, okay, the video. So Wondery was up first. And he said virtual reality was really our, you know, forget all this stuff is happening with virtual reality, but what about our imaginations? People have been telling stories for centuries. There's many ways to reach your audience on mobile, but one way to make sure they're listening. And it's, you know, and to him that meant podcasting. He had everyone reach under their seat and pull out a sleep mask, put it on, and then he did his presentation. So the first thing that happened was we were in the dark. And we started hearing, you know, a few Wondery shows. And that was actually extremely impactful. It was probably the most impactful one, because it's true that when they did do video, it was kind of like all they could do was roll stock footage of people on their iPods and like iPhones and like on the subway and like biking and working out. Like there's not, it's either that or they were shooting video of the person doing the show, like Serial, her recording, them being on foot, tracking down whoever they were tracking down, interviewing cops. Like, it's really not that compelling. It's better to hear the show.
Yeah.
It would have been better to hear the most compelling snippets from the show. And they didn't do that. Not one of them did that. Literally not one of them did that. But so, okay. So that was like a minute. And then they would come out with some crazy stat that no one could prove. Also in these episodes,
there's
so many of these, like every network had like some stat that bragged on themselves that was like completely unprovable and probably false.
Yeah.
And then at the end they were saying, and here's what's coming up next. And they would introduce a new concept, a new show, a new celebrity thing that they're pouring a bunch of cash into. And so therefore we should invest in them so that they can invest in whomever. Yeah, so that was Wondery, and I was not unimpressed with Wondery, but they're also the people that got me the invite to this, and they were very generous about doing so. So, like, just about asking in their email, like, hey, who wants to come to this? I'll get you an invite. Like, I thought that was pretty down-to-earth and cool of them, so I'm not going to fault them. And also, like, the sales girl there, I think her name is Christina, has, like, always been like, let's meet, let's talk, what do you do, how can we, you know, like, she's nice. And they seem like an all-for-one kind of company, so I'm not going to fault them yet. So far, they've won my... They're charming, Wondery. Okay, the hosts of Invisibilia. So this is another... So I have to go backwards. Before lunch, the hosts of the program were the hosts of Invisibilia. They were the ones introducing each network. And then after lunch, it was Michael Rappaport from I Am Rappaport. So as soon as the chicks from Invisibilia came out and started talking, remember what I was telling you about the Work It event where it was a lot of, like, people in broadcasting talking about broadcasting and congratulating each other on writing and broadcasting. This was very similar. Like, they come out, they immediately, like, Alex Spiegel immediately starts teasing Hannah Rosen about, you know, how she used to work for NPR and she used to work with Ira Glass and how she's married to some other bigwig in radio. Hannah is wearing a peach leotard and loose scarfy skirt and a peach scarf, but it's like not an actual scarf that would keep your neck warm. It's like one string of scarf that goes around her neck in like a loose, flowy, hipster way. And then like Alex is wearing her hair in like French braid, double French braids going down the back, and a dress that could only have been purchased in a vintage, like even ModCloth would not have had this dress. It's like an orange collar and then a black dress with white polka dots buttoned all the way up to the collar, and then black tights, and then brown Mary Jane shoes. Like, she, so obviously hipster attire, both of them. And they're both having these inside jokes about, like, writing and working and interning and NPR and broadcasting. And I was just like, oh, here we go again. Because if one thing I know about New York writers and journalists, and this is just from being a journalism major for 5 minutes, is that they love congratulating themselves on how smart they are all the time. And these two are, they weren't uncharming, but they're no exception. There's definitely a lot of that. Okay, so that kind of turned me off a little, just the way that they were like, this is an upfront, but I'm still going to dress like I'm drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and thinking, you know, with Charles Bukowski. It's just annoying. Shut up, you and your cigar smoking. Why don't you? I mean, it was just like Jack Kerouac's my idol kind of thing. Just enough out of you.
Oh, man.
Then Authentic came up. And I guess Authentic is Podbean.
What does that
Podtrack.
Mean?
Podtrack.
Podtrack. What is Podtrack? Oh, okay. All right.
So
I got
Authentic.
Confused.
So Podtrack is a company. They said was they've defined the industry standard of measurement. Not true.
Oh, my God, no.
And then they said, you know, that they've created this network called Authentic, which is, I guess, what Ira Glass's show is now on, and Serial, and This American Life, and a few others. They're on this network, Authentic, not NPR, which I thought was weird. I didn't understand that. Why aren't they on NPR? Aren't they owned by NPR? Why are they from Authentic and not NPR? This made no sense to me. Or were they NPR? Well, and I just didn't know they weren't, because NPR went almost last. I didn't understand.
Well, I think that I think that there's a difference between people being part of a network and people doing your stats for you.
But NPR also presented. No, they were definitely right. talking about their show on this network.
Okay. Well, you never know. People might just be jumping around.
So this was an interview with Ira Glass. I guess whoever's the head of Authentic interviewed Ira Glass. He was extremely stiff. Whoever's the boss of Authentic, really hire another celebrity next time. Wow. He was so stiff. He was just saying that, you know, Serial was an experiment and they were only hoping for 300,000 downloads per episode, but it ended up to be 10.7 million. And so in August 2015, the podcast of This American Life sailed past the actual radio show as far as ratings. And Ira Glass says the best part of podcasting is cursing because he says it's proof that something real is happening, which I loved that.
Oh my God.
I thought that was a very charming thing to say. Then Midroll went. So here are the stats that Midroll came out with. They have 300 shows. The top 20% of the iTunes top 100 is hosted by, is like taken care of by Midroll. And they represent at least one of the top, this is where it gets crazy. Listen to this. Let me just say it and then make sure you understand. They rep at least one of the top 10 of all 12 categories of iTunes. Which means that if you go to any category, art, business, whatever, in the top 10 will be a show on Midroll. But they're not talking necessarily about Midroll. They're more talking about like Earwolf. So Earwolf now has 30 shows. So this part was actually confusing because it's like, here's Midroll, who's not a network, talking about how they represent all these shows. But then they move on to talk about their network, Earwolf, and how Katie Couric's now on Earwolf and Marc Maron.
Yeah.
So Katie comes out and she started discussing her shows, but she really didn't. She kind of talked about her co-hosts more than her show and why she thinks podcasting is fun. And hey, thanks for supporting my show. Goodbye. Like, she didn't sell me really on anything except her face. And then
but she's there. She showed up.
Yeah.
That was basically it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Mark told this hilarious story about his first sponsor. He said he was really into coffee. He got at the same place every day. He said, if you give me free coffee, I'll mention your coffee on my podcast. And then they said, sure. So he would get his free coffee and then he would sit down and then he would say, he would take a sip and go, pow, I just shit my pants.
Oh my God.
And they weren't happy, but their online business exploded
wow.
because every time he took a sip of their coffee, you go, I don't have to take a sip of this coffee. And then he would go, pow, I just shit my pants. I'm telling you there. And their business went bonkers.
Wow.
But he says he likes doing ads because it's the old timey radio element of him selling something. And then Midroll announced that they're doing a new show with Rosie O'Donnell.
I was just watching Elmo Palooza now last just
oh, really?
The other day.
Is she
and
on
I
that?
Was like, yeah, she's on that. She sang a song and I'm like, where the heck is she? She's like,
she's
going to
do
it,
an Earwolf show, I guess.
She's doing a podcast now. Great.
Well, so, yeah, and so it's just like, wow, you got Rosie O'Donnell. Wow. I mean, that's are they And then it makes me think like they're paying her just like they would a television network star. Like is Earwolf and Midroll they're paying Rosie to do her show? Are they paying Katie? Are they paying Mark? Or are they just paying by sponsorship? I'm not sure. Still don't know.
I get confused now because you're
so.
Right. There's something I don't know. I mean, can you sell somebody on a podcast? You could. But you have to have the thing. Like that's why I think Aisha Tyler's so amazing because she gets it.
Yeah,
she gets it. She gets the power. Like,
yeah. So,
I don't know.
WNYC did a slideshow mostly about how to get people's attention, and their tag was, "We deliver the magic of undivided attention every day." Like, they took credit for people giving them their undivided for the entire basis of how the foundation of podcasting, which is that people are listening while they're doing other things. So they said, and WNYC, delivering the magic of undivided attention every day. Like no other network could do it. When really they're all doing it the same exact way for the same reason. Then they said, 91% of people listening to a WNYC show complete an episode and 95% of listeners take action as a result of listening to an ad. 95%.
I want to know how they get those stats.
I want to know what they mean by take action because I think it means sneeze and say God bless you. Like it could mean anything.
It could mean anything, yeah.
It means nothing. Take action. What action? They didn't say make a purchase. They didn't say go to a website. Nothing. What does that even mean?
It could be all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Now this is where...
email somebody, tweet out.
Yeah. Ahead. This is where things got interesting because How Stuff Works came on. And it was Chuck... Bryant from Stuff You Should Know. He's the guy that sold his show because he was like, our listeners love us so much, they even love our ad reads. And they had like all these like tweets and stuff about how much they love the products. And this is where, because they're established. Stuff You Should Know is an old podcast, right?
Yeah, they've been around for a while.
Yeah. So, and Stuff Mom Never Told You they have too. They did some examples of how their podcast has changed lives, which I thought was very compelling and empowering. And like, I could tell that that made an impact. But like this other, like the rest of the celebrities were really like, thanks for supporting my show. But you could tell the older podcasters knew what to say. It's just that I don't think
because
that,
they know the medium. And I think, you know, right, I mean, right, we can't really judge them at this moment for that. And it's the same thing, though, in Hollywood as well. If you have, you know, if you have a celebrity that is truly, it's truly an artist, you know, somebody mm-hmm. who knows the craft of making films or TV shows or anything like that, that knows the ins and outs of everything versus someone who happens to be the pretty face, the one that everybody mm-hmm. wants to have in their movie, that just happens to really come across really well on screen, but they mm-hmm. don't really know the craft.
Yeah,
know?
But I mean, I got the feeling that the networks didn't either.
You're right, because they probably don't. I think that part of it is that people are going like, oh my God, we have to do this podcasting thing. Who knows about that?
Who can we get? Who can we
who
announce?
Who can we get? Let's just send them over and let's see if we can get some money.
Like AdLarge was one of the worst examples of this because like they kind of stood up there and they were like, hi, we're AdLarge. We're, and then lots of words that involve audio and marketing, but like nothing that made any sense. And then Jim Brewer came out and made no sense again because he was just like talking about how people know him as like the goat boy from SNL or whatever, but then he did stand up and then he likes heavy metal. So he wanted to do the show called The Metal in Me. And then he started like promoting his new heavy metal album that his wife doesn't like because Angus, what's his name from AC/DC sings on it. Like none of this made any sense or was relevant. It was just kind of cool to see Jim Brewer, but like he didn't know I didn't know what the hell to say. And Jay, what's his name, Green, and Yvonne Lacey from AdLarge are just standing, like, beaming with pride at how, you know, how proud they are themselves that they even got Jim Brewer on stage. But they don't care that he's not making any sense, nor did they make any sense. And then, like, he goes off stage, and there's another 5 minutes about all the women's programming that they're developing, one with Emma, the plus-size model. And one about like something about girl talk, Damien, some girl with girl. Let me look on AdLarge. Hold on. Because I can't even tell you the name of her, but it was just like dishing with Darian. And then they had her come out in her white pantsuit and say, again, not much. Oh, they're doing newmommymedia.com, I guess, which is a new show.
New Mommy Media is like Sunny Galt's.
No, she wasn't. Well, they just signed with AdLarge, I guess.
Well, I don't know if you can see like New Mommy Media is if you look at that New Mommy Media.
I can look. Hold on. Here's the programming. So it says join our family. And then it goes all the way down to the bottom, but it includes like the first half says ALM Day Network, ALM Day Part Network, ALM News Talk Network. But then above that, it says like 5 a.m. Miracle, which is a podcast, 60 Second Network, which is a podcast. Below that is like, what does this say? Completely Unnecessary Podcast, Big R Radio, Cabana, which we don't know what that is. They just said announcing Cabana. Something about Doug Steffen's Good Day, IndyCar. And then here's Jim Brewer. So they mix in all their networks with all their shows. So you can't even tell, like, what's what. Is any of this a podcast? Like, they have A-List Comedy. That doesn't say it's a podcast. And not all the networks or the logos are square. So you can't. Mm-hmm. So, like, you assume the ones that are square are podcasts. But here's one, IMGR, that's square. And it says Complete Station Branding. What does that even mean? I still, to this day, do not know what they do. It makes no sense. And like the whole thing was they have what they said they call female focused programming. That's what they call it. But who knows what it is? Or like I said, I know they're going to do a show with Emma and a couple other ones. But that's all I know. That's all we know. And fine. If New Mommy Media, is that just the one show, though? Or is it like a series?
I don't know.
It might be a series.
That it's- Well, the thing is, New Mommy Media is Sonny Galt. Is that what her name? It was. Is that what the name that they're showing? Because she's got a mm-hmm. whole network of her own stuff. So yes. maybe they're infringing on her stuff. And
no,
then
maybe they're
even
selling
know.
Her network to advertisers.
Maybe.
Hold on.
Possibly.
I think maybe. That she signed on for them to sell her network. And that's why they were talking about, oh, we have all this great programming, but it's not actually programming that they've developed. Yeah, this is the same logo. It's not programming they've developed. It's probably programming that Sonny developed that they're allowed to sell. Let me look at
right,
the shows. I think
can.
I'm
yeah,
right.
And of course.
It is.
Yes,
it is. Because I remember the boob group and Motivating yeah. Mom and Twin Talks. Yeah. So basically they handed over all this branding, all these shows to AdLarge. And now AdLarge is going to sell
their whole thing.
Their, what's it called? Space,
their
yeah, their space.
Their
ad space, yeah.
Yeah, for their stuff, which I
inventory.
Understand, and that's really great. That's and I mean. In their inventory stuff, yeah. which is great. And but what's so tough is that, well, you know, but well, how do you know what the job of this person is? AdLarge is not in the business of developing talent.
But that's what I'm saying. I think they are.
What?
Because I think this show with Emma is them developing talent.
Is that what it is, or did they just get it?
They made
well,
it
see,
out
this
to
is
be
where
Emma was.
This is where, like, I'm getting totally confused because
yes.
they're I because I who ah yeah like are you make I don't get it.
Doesn't
because
make
there's
sense.
Plenty of no, it
they
makes
didn't
no
develop
sense.
Jim Brewer's show. I mean, and they represent so money with Farnoosh, and they didn't develop those shows.
No, they didn't.
But so now they're getting into the podcast development game. Like, this is the part that made me. So this is the mid-roll Earwolf problem.
Right.
First, you're an agency, and then you acquire someone that will help you develop your own content. This is why I started texting you about how maybe we should have a network. Because otherwise, I'm just an agency selling other people's stuff. Not that that, and then I'm just like, but why does that matter? I don't want to develop content other than my own. Why do these people want to do it? Is it just, it makes no sense to me, but I'll keep going. I don't know why it makes sense. I don't know why it makes sense, but I'm going to.
I don't.
Panoply just talked about the GE's The Message and how it won like a ton of ad awards. And then there was an Edison Research presentation. And this is the part that gave me so much pleasure. And it's not because the research was so fascinating, although it was interesting. But ladies and gentlemen, I never, ever get information before Elsie Escobar. She always has it first. And she always acts bored when I tell her the news that she already knows. So it's never satisfying to reveal that I know something about podcasting ever. And it's not that I wasn't excited to share it with her, because the second it went up on screen, I texted it to her. I was giving it to her minute by minute as it was being given to me.
She was, dude. I was getting so many pictures. It was awesome.
It was awesome. But, like, I'll just give you an example. Like, I was texting her some other stuff. Like, oh, they're doing this show. Yeah, I already read about that. Oh, they're doing this thing with this. I already read about that. So I was like, okay. And then, you know, Tina Dietz and Amanda Dowdy, they stayed with me for MapCon. This is the most annoying thing. This is, like, a perfect example. So I go, oh, my God, this swag would be great for Pod Fusion. You have to get this. And it's like this little ice tray that makes ice in the shape of microphones and boomboxes and dollar signs. And I'm so excited. I'm like, Elsie, you're never going to believe this. She shakes a little bit and she goes, I told her to get that for you. I was like, I'm done here. Why do I even bother? She usurps me every time. So,
oh my God,
so annoying. So, yeah. So it made me so happy to be like, look, Elsie, look, something new, something new. I was so excited that I had it first. You have no idea.
You did. You actually, that totally was like, woohoo. I was so excited.
I was so excited to give her something first. Yay. It was made my week. Probably my year, because it'll never happen again. Okay. Then we have lunch. Lunch is served. You go out to lunch, and it is tenderloin and fingerling potatoes and chopped balsamic salad.
What?
I'm not shitting
you. Get
out. It is the most expensively catered lunch I've probably ever had. Better than many weddings I've been to, as a matter of fact.
Well, you know what, though?
Not
that was
my
the first
wedding,
question that I,
but many weddings.
Well, it's the first question that I asked you. But it wasn't for lunch. It was about breakfast. Remember, I was like, what are you guys having for breakfast?
They had little mini quiches for breakfast. Was not as enthralling. Lunch was interesting.
But still, I mean, come on.
Yeah, lunch was fascinating.
Stop.
This was fascinating, what they did for lunch. And then we sat down and like Scott, what's his name? Wait, what's his name? Scott. This guy sits down and we're talking about like, who knows what? I'm talking about, you know me, I talk about nonsense with everyone. And so I'm talking to this guy about complete nonsense and he's from Chicago and now he lives in New York and what he thinks and who he's with and blah, 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 and the weather. And then I'm like, here, and he says, well, what do you do? And I give him my card and he's like, oh, great. Hands me his card. Senior Vice President of NPR Sponsorship.
Oh, my God.
I was like, thanks.
Hi.
Hello. And then so I go, so I look at his card and of course, because I have no filter, I go gulp. And he goes, yeah, titles are fun. That was it.
How you doing?
Huh?
Oh, how you doing? Did you hear that? You said how you doing.
How you doing?
Yeah, I was like, he goes, yeah, titles are fun. Because I just went, holy shit. Like, I don't even know what to say. I just all of a sudden was like, oops. I mean, it doesn't matter because I'm going to be myself. It doesn't matter who he is, but right. I didn't expect that. That's all. And then next to him, he sits, some guy sits down and continues the conversation. It's Jim Lally, who's a senior director of national corporate underwriting for NPR and New York Public Radio.
Nice.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So famous.
It was crazy. All these people were crazy that I met. And I mean, I didn't get to meet that many because another element to this is that I was dog ass sick. I was getting sick. I was sick. I did not feel well. In fact, my father practically had to carry me up to New York. I was so sick. And then like, so like that, this day I wasn't feeling well. My voice wasn't gone yet, but everything hurt. My face, my throat, my head, everything hurt. And so, I was planning on staying there for the night because they had a reception after the upfront. And around 4 o'clock, I come out just to like get a breather because it's such a long day listening to them all brag about themselves. So I come out and I see them setting up a DJ booth and I was like, I have to get the hell out of here. I cannot talk over a DJ tonight. I'm just going to have to go. So I left. But yeah, the best, another thing that was hilarious was Mike Rappaport. Mike Rappaport took over after lunch. He started hosting. And unlike Alex and Hannah, Mike, who's a probably natural stand-up comedian, he's been in a, if you look him up, we'll give you the link to his IMDb. Extremely funny guy. He's a character actor and everything. He's got a New York accent. He always plays a mook from New York. He talks just like this all the time. So he comes out there and he explains his show, which is I Am Rappaport. He has a co-host who's his friend from, you know, the dawn of time. And then it's time for him to introduce who's first. Let me see. I'm not sure. I think I have NPR. It's time for him to introduce NPR. And he's looking around for the script and he can't find what he's supposed to say. And he's got like the paper in his hand and then he's got a teleprompter, but he keeps going, yo, where's my script? Is this right? Is this what I'm supposed to say? I don't even know what we're doing. What are you guys even doing here? This is a podcast. And then he goes, can I curse? He goes, and he started to curse and he's like, wait a minute, I can't. He goes, I can curse. There's a fucking podcast up front. Where are you guys going to go? It's a podcast up front. Y'all are fancy. You guys are fancy, right? You guys are all big deals. He starts pointing to people in the audience, asking them to prove their worth to be at the podcast up front. So he's like, yo, big deal. What do you do? And the guy goes, Harry's Razors. And he goes, hey, you guys used to be a sponsor. What happened? And the whole room.
Oh, my God.
The whole room, like, shits himself laughing. And then, you know, he keeps going and like, this happens before NPR, it happens before Time, it happened before CBS, and it happened before Podcast One. And I'm telling you, he heckled the audience, he couldn't find his stuff, he cursed. It was hilarious. It was the by far the best thing I'd ever seen, especially because a room full of network bigwigs and agency and ad agencies who are there trying not to screw up their job, they're all stressed. And Michael is taking full advantage of this situation by trying to lighten the mood. But then, in fact, I don't know. Like they, I couldn't tell if the IAB people were happy about it. I don't think they were, especially because another thing that kept happening was with the transition after lunch, like something would go wrong with the audio every time. And like Michael Rappaport would go off stage and then you'd hear his conversation going on back there instead of the person that was on stage, like Lex, for example. So, so yeah, things were getting a little hairy and it was not. It just Michael with his overly loudness was making it look like they were less organized than they already looked, which was probably not good. And then, you know, there's a couple other, you know, I mean, I basically gave you the entire idea. There's just a few things that I thought were funny. One, the guy who's the head of How Stuff Works was one of the people that he picked on during these breaks. You, what do you do? And the guy goes, you know what I do. And he goes, I don't know what you do. What am I, a fucking mind reader? The guy had just presented a half hour before that. Like, he just presented. It was really funny.
Oh my God.
At this point, Lex Fridman had parked next to me. Like, I don't, I mean, not on purpose, whatever, but he had already done his presentation. He came back in, he sat down, and my seat was, the next to me seat was taken. So he parked right next to me. And he and I are both laughing through the whole thing, but at disbelief. Like, that we can't, right. You know, because Lex, for whatever he does for a living, he's a pretty digital guy. He's got his own show and he's very active on Twitter. You know, like, I don't know that guy from How Stuff Works is necessarily the same way. But I felt like Lex, like, he's one of the few people I think that could understand the humor in that situation, as opposed to, like, yeah, the head of Time Inc., who probably didn't think it was funny. And another guy who didn't think it was funny was the head of Podcast One, who got annoyed, so annoyed with Michael Rapaport, that he walked out on stage and said, "I've had about enough of this."
Oh, my God.
Before he was introduced.
Oh, my God.
Stood next to Michael, pointed at him where to read, and pointed with, and read word for word where it was so that Michael would say it. And then went, "Thank you, goodbye," and sent him off stage. He was so rude. And I mean, it's Norm Pattiz, and I mean, I guess he has a reputation for being a bit of a ball buster, but like, if people were wondering whether or not they wanted to do business with you, like, they got their answer from that. Because Michael, we were getting amusement from. Norm, on the other hand, is like a giant blowhard. So we were not amused by him, because all he was doing was talking about all the millions of dollars he had. And then he introduces Shaquille O'Neal, and then he introduces Adam Carolla, and they continue to blow smoke up his overly tanned, bleached hair ass.
No way. They both did? Well, I guess so. No, gosh, it makes me sad.
Actually, no. Adam made fun of him. Adam goes, "If you take the height of me and Shaq and the girl from Forbes, we would average you out to be pretty tall, huh, Norm?" Because Norm's short as hell. And Norm looks at the audience and goes, "He's 30% of my business. What can I do about it?" Which is like the most obnoxious thing you could say. Like, so what? So Adam Carolla calls him short. So he turns to the audience and says, "I'm still 70% more rich than he is." It was so obnoxious. Just so obnoxious. I mean, I guess that's his, whatever. That's his personality. Maybe I shouldn't talk badly about him. Is that going to ruin my career somehow? I'm not sure.
I think so, dude. Would you ever work for him?
No. So it doesn't matter.
Okay.
No.
No.
I would work for, I mean, there are a lot of the networks that endeared me that I would work for. I was very endeared by Wondery, like I said. I was very endeared by How Stuff Works. I thought that guy was really cool, despite the fact that Michael Rapaport heckled him. But I met him at lunch, and he was very nice. I mean, NPR is the kind of thing where, like, I feel like I need a journalism degree, which I don't have. So I don't think them. And a lot of their stuff, yeah, but yeah, a lot of the networks I think I would be able to sleep at night working for, to be honest.
Maybe even
mid-roll. I don't think they're the devil. I don't necessarily think they do their ads correctly every time, but I don't think they're the devil.
No, I like mid-roll.
The people
there are
very nice. I wish that they would do a little better targeting of their ads, though. Like, I don't like to,
but I do believe that that's across the board, though. I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
I only
about
know mid-roll.
I think. Well, there's a lot of, because, you know, I listen to a crap ton of, you know, podcasts. So I do know the majority of the people that are advertising and podcasting. And I do feel that there is sometimes a misfire.
Exactly.
Between.
Like, why is Dan Savage talking about MailChimp? That makes no sense to me.
Well, see, to me, I get really confused with podcasters like tech guy. I mean, maybe there's something that I'm missing, but, like, you know, a lot of the tech podcasters or even like the podcasts that are about something that you're obsessed with, like pens and things, mm-hmm, that you're talking about a mattress.
Well, right. But this is the problem. That is the problem, like, across the board.
And I'm so, the Casper I'm so mattress. Confused because I'm like, yeah, because it's all over. And I'm sure that, the thing is, you as a network that want to do this for a living and want to continue to do what you're doing and to pay the people that happen to be part of your network, you kind of are between a rock and a hard place if there's an advertiser that comes in and goes, "Here's the money, just add it."
They don't care.
And they know. Like,
that's the point.
You don't have to explain it.
Those people don't care what shows they're on, but they should.
Exactly. Because
they're not getting nearly what they could for their money.
It's the same thing the other way around, though. When somebody comes up and you're a network and you have all this stuff and you don't really have at this moment the position to be like, "And we're going to pass on that because that's not going to really be relevant for us," because you just want to stay above water.
Yeah.
You just want to keep going. You just want to make podcasts.
Yeah.
I'll sell your mattress for you.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, the podcaster probably doesn't care, but I care as a listener and as a salesperson, I care because I think it's...
Well, I guess...
I think it shows salespeople don't... Or that advertising people don't know what the hell they're doing.
No. You're right. But I think that that's a problem that goes, you know, way above... It's just like... The culture is not even there. People don't understand the culture. And then you're getting the bigwigs, the ones that you obviously have said have no idea, who are stepping into the space and they have no idea what they're talking about. I'm not going to talk about this.
So before we get started, let's just mention Team Podcast and how amazing they are. And thank you so much for sponsoring us, Christy Hausler and the people at Team Podcast. They are the group where if you have too much on your podcasting plate, they will... Well, I should let you talk, really, because I'm going to be doing all the talking. So why don't you talk about Team Podcast?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. So you know what? If you guys are feeling a little bit overwhelmed, I think one of Christy Hausler's and Team Podcast's biggest... how do you say it? Like, their biggest talent, the way that they can help you the most, is being able to, particularly when you're starting out, how to kind of figure out what it is that needs to be done so that your podcast can get done effectively and efficiently. So Christy has done this for a lot of people. She has helped a lot of people. So if you get stuck, like with, oh my God, I'm about to launch. I have all of, not lunch, but launch.
I was like, launch? Delicious.
Oh, my mind about to have lunch. No, and you don't know. You really just, there's so many little bits and pieces that are moving. Having somebody kind of talk you through, being able to know, like, these are the things that need to get done. This is the stuff that you can do for yourself. This is the stuff that we can do for you. And really come to a conversation of how to get things done in that fashion. It's just going to save you so much time, particularly if you start to know, like, what it is that you as a producer are really good at. And maybe there's something that you feel like, I'm not sure I'm going to be doing a good job doing this, right? Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that they are really good at. And also, if you already know how to do something and you would like to just outsource it, that would be also another thing that you could do. You have very clear directions. This is the way you do it. This is how I want it to be done. Here you go.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for supporting me. So, yay, Team Podcast. Christine. Thank you so much for sponsoring us.
Thank you. And now on with the show. MapCon was, okay, so I came home on Thursday. MapCon started Friday night. And at this point,
you got to tell them what MapCon stands for.
Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference.
Yes.
And it was put on by Joe Pardo. And it was right around the corner. It was like Swedesboro, New Jersey. And so I had Tina Dietz and Amanda Dowdy staying with me. They came into the Amanda went right to the Friday night party. Tina came into the airport. I was on my way to pick up Tina. Ramona called me and said, Mark had a snafu with the bus from New York. Could I go get Mark? And she was already at the airport to get Michael O'Neill. Can she pick up Tina? I said, sure. Where's Mark Asquith? She goes, 8th and 9th. So I was like, Center City. He's in Center City. So unlike most cities, our airport is not smack in the middle of the city. Like, it is 20 minutes outside the city, south. Like, you get off at the Philadelphia airport and you still have to drive like 20 minutes to get to the city. Whereas, like, so like she tells me, and then also the city is to the left and New Jersey's to the right. So now instead of going to the airport and then going straight south to where I needed to go in Jersey, I had to go all the way north into the city at rush hour. This is 4 o'clock on a Friday, which around here also on a Friday, that's a nightmare because when it's nice out, people are going to Jersey beaches. So now I'm having to drive Philadelphia, Jersey beach traffic. Well, with everybody else, everyone was late to this thing because it started at 7 and people were all driving rush hour in Jersey and Philly. And it was awful. So I got to pick up Mark. He had gotten on a bus at a recommendation by Joe to because he's like, oh, it's only $9 to take the bus. Well, yeah, normally a mega bus or a bolt bus, which, by the way, is like a cushy bus with like air conditioning and Wi-Fi. This is not what Mark took. I park at 8th and 9th and I realize I'm in the middle of Chinatown. And I was like, why am I in the middle of Chinatown? He goes, I don't want to talk about it. So I'm like,
oh my God.
So I go, okay. And then I'm like, all right, I'll just wait for your bus. And then he proceeds to text me and tell me that his other bus, so he's late because his first bus was hit by a car and they had to switch bus. They had to switch buses in the middle of the highway. And then a bus comes in. He says, I'm just getting off the bridge. I said, okay, I'm waiting for you. And a bus pulls up right in front of me. It's a white unmarked bus. like a school bus, but it has Chinese writing on it. Mostly Chinese writing on it, except for except for crudely painted letters that say FILA-NY. And so I go, I text him and I go, this bus just came in front of this bus just parked in front of me. This isn't your bus, right? Because I'm waiting for like a decent bus, like a Bolt bus. He goes,
right.
All he wrote me back was seriously. So now I don't know. I don't know if he's. I really don't know if he's serious. Like, as in, are you kidding? I would never ride that bus, or if he's saying this is my bus. So I go. So I go. Seriously, is this your bus? He said, I can't talk about this bus. And I was like, but Mark, is this your? No, I said no. All I wrote was just like a series of no's, and he said, I have PTSD from this bus.
Oh my God.
So like, yeah, so like I have to wait for 8,000 Chinese people to get off the bus, and then finally Mark gets off the bus. Well, because I mean, and I'm not seriously, there's nothing prejudiced or racist about it, but like Chinatown, city of Chinatown is so different than just like north, like the people who live in the cities of both Chinatowns are, you know, it's almost like their own section of the world. It's almost like being, I don't want to say like Amish or whatever, but like it might kind of like being like Orthodox Jew. They all live in one section. They have their own way of dressing, their own food, their own style. And it's not to say that Chinese people have their own way of dressing. That's ridiculous. But I think that I would not take a bus from Chinatown to Chinatown, Philly to New York, because first of all, no one would be able to understand me. And secondly, I would probably be the weirdest person on that bus. And that's probably, you know, that would probably be a weird feeling. That's what happened to him. He actually flew here from the UK and was staying in New York City, took this bus at the recommendation of Joe. Why not a train? The man is the owner of podcast websites. Like, get on a train. So, you know, as I'm waiting for Mark, I'm like waiting for Mark Asquith to get off a bus. I'm happy to pick up Mark or whoever. I'm waiting for Mark Asquith. I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about with Mark Asquith on the whole, you know, because it's 40 minutes to Jersey. I got to think, talk about him with something with him. So I'm like sitting here like, what do I make conversation about? I mean, I could ask him what Britain's like. And I don't know if he's married and we probably could get to know each other. And then he steps off the bus and I go, you know, every other question I had for you has now been shadowed by this one. How's business, Mark? And he goes, he's like, business is great. And I was like, why did you take this bus? Why?
Oh,
why?
God.
Why did you take this bus? He's like, Joe, and he's, you know, he's so charming and sweet, dude. And he's like, Joe recommended it, but he didn't sort me out, did he? And I'm like, no, he didn't. He didn't sort you out, as a matter of fact. He messed you up good. I mean, because, and then he was like, and then, you know, we drive to the hotel and it's very pleasant. And I had gotten him a, you know, cold bottle of water because he had been on the bus now for 3-4 hours because of the whole accident. He probably has had nothing to eat, nothing to drink. We get to the hotel and like, you know, immediately everyone's like, oh, let's go eat dinner before the party. And I was like, Mark, do you want to come to dinner? He's like, no, because I have to wash the Chinese off me. I'll see you at the party. Bye. Just like walked to his room. And again, nothing prejudiced, but again, it's just sort of like a different word. You know, Chinatown smells like Chinatown. There's a lot of fish cooking oil and whatever. I always sound racist on this show. I'm not. I actually have been to, the only reason I knew where to get them is because we go there so often. I used to take my kids there all the time. They have the greatest stores there. My husband has a very serious sushi and dim sum problem. I go there all the time. So, but I mean, I don't know that I would ride that bus. That it probably wasn't comfortable. And sometimes, you know, if you go to the authentic Chinese restaurants, like they don't always have the air conditioning on. And like, I don't know. I'm going to stop now because I know someone's going to be offended by something I say. And I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just painting a picture. God damn it. It was probably uncomfortable.
God damn it.
So anyway, so that was that. Then we get there. We have dinner at Applebee's. It was lovely. I come back to the hotel. First person I see, because how could you miss him, is Rob Greenlee. Who's five, what is he like, 6'8"? He's ridiculously tall. But actually that evens out when you sit down at a table with him. So
yeah, it does. It's
it
only
does.
When he stands up.
It's just, it must just be the legs. The legs just like, they just decided to keep going after the rest stopped, I guess. And they were just like, we're not done here, Rob.
Oh my God.
Because when I stand up to hug him, I can only like go around the waist. I don't even reach his armpits. Sad. So I hug him. We sit down. We start talking. He wanted to know about the upfronts. I told him everything I just told you guys. That's when I realized that the Rob you were talking about that worked for Podcast One was this Rob, not Rob Walsh.
That's
right. I thought
you
meant Rob Walsh worked for Norm.
Dude.
I didn't realize. You met Rob Greenlee. So yeah. I was telling him, and then I started telling the story about Norm and how mad he got at Michael Rappaport. And he goes, yeah, it was a CTO. And I was like, what? Oh, well, then I said, oh, well, then you'll really enjoy this story. And I can't wait to tell you. So I told him all about what I thought of Norm and the whole situation. And then I see John Buchanan sitting at the bar all by himself. And I'm wondering, like, he's having work drama, but I don't know that. I can just see him out of the corner of my eye, and he looks miserable. And I'm thinking, is he being antisocial? Does he have another poo haiku? Like, what's happening to John over there? So I wave at him to come sit with us. Because how, I mean, what could go wrong? Because what could go wrong, Elsie?
I don't know. You're
in asking our editor to come sit with me and the head of content for Spreaker. Well,
oh, that's right.
He says he'll be here in a minute, and I continue talking to Rob Greenlee, and then before I know it, John is sauntering my way with two other red-faced guys. They're like very red-faced, and it's almost like someone took a Brillo pad and just scrubbed the hell out of their faces. That's how red they are. And he goes, Jessica, I want you to meet my cousin, the Jimmy. The Jimmy listens to my show with John off in the weeds. And apparently he's got something to say about every episode. So I'm like, hi, Jimmy. Nice to meet you. He parks his ass right next to me. And he starts, oh, it's so weird to see you talk. And, you know, I listen to your show and I think you're so funny and this and that. And I'm like, great. And I enjoy this compliment. And then I start to turn back to Rob and he goes, and the Jimmy says, let me show you some things. Pulls out his iPhone and just starts showing me random pictures of like his mother. Like he's like, this is my mom. He's like, this is my daughter. She's 16. This is my mom. I think they look so much alike. I called John yesterday. I was on the top of a mountain. You want to see the mountain? Starts throwing. And now I don't know. I don't even know what to say at this point because it was such a weird pairing of worlds. But also, because, you know, like he's sitting here talking about the upfront and advertising and strategy with God. Rob Greenlee. And then Jersey Jimmy comes and sits down with me, starts talking to me, and I don't know how to act. I'm just praying he'll stop. Luckily, Deb Williams came, sat down next to him and distracted him.
Oh, my God.
Because, and I mean, yes, exactly. It was terrible. It wasn't terrible because he's a nice guy. But also, there were certain points when I was talking to Rob Greenlee, and then I think Dave Jackson came over too, and like I was talking to the two of them, when I felt the eyes of the Jimmy boring into the back of my head, like he was observing me like a wild animal in its natural habitat. Like I was at a zoo, kind of.
Oh my God.
It was so weird. The event went really well. The social part was the best part. I woke up the morning of Saturday with absolutely no voice. Like I was already like kind of up here on Friday. By Saturday, it was like this. Once in a while, something would squeak. It was terrible. It was terrible. I did everything I could. I gobbled up tea. I was sucking on honey drops. Finally, Amanda just got me a shot of honey from the restaurant. And I was just like sucking down honey, like right out of the container, like right before I spoke. Because I was the closing keynote. And I was like this by then. It was terrible. As far as MapCon goes, like they had a contest to like, they give you like an item and you're supposed to make a show based around this item and you get judged on like branding, entertainment, content, whatever. One of the entries was so offensive that I didn't even know what to say. So like, here were the judges. It was me and Heather Ordover and Michael O'Neill and Teo Roxon. And immediately Michael decides he's the Simon and then Teo says he's the, you know, the Randy. And so I'm like, well, I'll be the Paula and just sit here and make no sense. How about that? How will that be? And then Heather says she's the J-Lo. Now we're judging American Idol. And most of the entries were good. I mean, they were actually, they were very creative and fun. And John's group, though, was so funny. They had this little toy red car as their inspiration, and they did the men's midlife crisis show. And the one black woman who was in their group was like, bringing men with a midlife crisis back to normalcy. And like each each guest had a different problem. Like the first guy decided that there was a future in heavy metal and he wanted to start a heavy metal band. And the second guy was like, I'm into young girls, you know, girls in their prime. And this is how I know they're in their prime, because 19 is a prime number and 29 is a prime number. So anywhere, oh my God. And I was like, we were like, ew. And then John was talking about how he was having trouble online dating because you're either the booger or the booger flicker. Anyway, it was really funny and they won. There was another group. I don't even remember what their toy was for inspiration, but it was all about midgets. It was terrible. It was like something about counseling midgets about being small. It was very in bad taste. It was awful. And if you're listening and you're a part of that group, shame on you. It was terrible. But funny. Okay. And then there's speakers. So there's like three main speakers. So Teo opened it. Michael O'Neill did right after lunch. And then I closed it. There may have been one more longer speaker. And then everyone, maybe it was Heather before lunch. And then every other speaker that was there only had like 10 minutes. And I found that, believe it or not, I kind of found those harder to pay attention to because, you know, it's going to be over soon. So it's like, why bother, kind of? And I know that doesn't make any sense because you would think they would power pack that ship. And they did. The speakers didn't do a bad job. I just don't think the format is quite right. But it's not my event. So what are you going to do? I did it last year. I spoke for 10 minutes. And I also find it hard to stay the 10 minutes as a speaker. So I can't win. But the food was really good. He did Philly Fest and they fed us like cheesesteaks and pretzels and Caesar salad. And it was really good. And then there was another party Saturday night. And that was just as fun as the first party, if not more so. It was incredibly fun to hang out with those people. And it was a small room. It was like under 100. And it made it really nice. So all in all, that was fun. But I just wanted to tell you about the Jimmy and about Mark's bus. And people said that I had a good presentation. I spoke about sponsorship and what you need to start. And it was good. I'm done now. I've now talked for... What have I talked now? For like an hour and a half?
Something like that.
Are you bored? So, do I have to wake you up now?
I am not. I actually needed to hear you talk because...
Do you have any questions about either event or do you just want me to stop talking now? Be honest.
Dude, I was just, I wanted to hear about this for so long. You know, I've been sitting not talking to you except for the immediate, but we did have some really fun conversations, but I do not have any extra things that I need to.
Yeah. I mean, you ask. You go to these things and you kind of have some really good conversations, and then other times it's just sitting next to people and getting to know them kind of, which is nice.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this was a lovely episode because there's a lot of people who, I was just thinking when you were talking about the upfronts, nobody has that kind of content except us.
That's true.
Nobody is going to get the play-by-play the way you just gave it up.
That's true.
Every single article that I read about the upfronts, I was about to fall asleep. In fact, one of the episodes that you linked to in our Trello board, because mind
boring?
You, we did not...
Here's why I linked that, because I wanted to highlight the things like I just wanted to highlight the fact that like about Rosie O'Donnell, like you know, that Time Inc. is putting money into like these things and they're putting money into these things. That's what I wanted, is just to highlight, I guess, what the next steps are for them, because I think that's also information that isn't easily acquired, if that makes sense. So
no, you're right. And I think that you have just summed up the upfront like nobody else can, Jess.
Oh, thanks.
And therefore, we love She Podcasts.
Yay.
But I think we are going to have to wrap this up and then change some of the stuff. So if you guys have any kind of feedback, especially about the things that you heard us talk about on this show, you can email feedback@shepodcast.com. You can also go into speakpipe.com/shepodcast and give us 90 seconds of your voice to give us the scoop on your thoughts about upfronts or about advertising or anything else. We do have a lot of other things that we wanted to talk about and have been wanting to talk about for the past few weeks. So hopefully we'll be, you know, we'll put them in there. As time goes through.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. And again, sign up for PodFusion, shepodcast.com/PodFusion. Start to get your tickets. You guys, this is going to be so amazing to be able to have this kind of an experience with like Jess and myself and actually feel like she did when she went to MapCon and picked up Mark on that crazy
bus.
Yeah,
you guys don't even know.
So we will have stories like that as well.
Y'all don't even know.
Come and hang out with us. Gpodcast.com/podfusion. Sign up. Yeah. All right. Dun, dun. And then we will follow up actually with lots of more data for podcasting stats and all that fun next
time. See ya.
Bye-bye. See ya. Love you.
Mean it.